You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and you're about to hear how one gal's near-death experience with homemade vegan onion rings gave her first-degree burns, as well as firsthand proof of how healing eating them plants can be. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. This episode is enthusiastically sponsored by a product I couldn't swear by more if I tried. Four Sigmatic Mushrooms. I didn't say swear about more. I said swear by. I couldn't swear by the magic of mushrooms more if I tried. I originally tried a packet of Four Sigmatic Mushroom tea in a glass of hot water because, well, I was gifted a free single packet of Four Sigmatic Mushroom tea by a friend. I had no idea what it did or what was going to happen to me. And I was skeptical because this whole mushroom thing is trendy right now. And I'm always skeptical of trendy things. Read, I avoid trendy things to not be trendy. You know what I mean? But anyway, I drank the shrooms and I felt truly awesome. It's hard to explain. I just felt more awesome than before I drank it. Since then, I've ordered it and consumed about 2 packets of shrooms a day, and I can't get enough. I am telling you, these mushrooms are magic. Although they don't make me hallucinate in a bathtub like my ex-boyfriend's famous magic mushroom experience, which honestly, he seemed way too proud of in hindsight. But hear this, I wasn't hallucinating the magical effects of these shrooms. They are ultra scientifically proven to boost immunity and gut health. Yes, please, and thank you. And the 4 different shrooms that Four Sigmatic uses most, hence the 4 in Four Sigmatic, I just got that too. Well, like 3 minutes ago. But they all do different epic things for your bod. Reishi helps you relax. Cordyceps give you non-caffeinated energy for sports and stuff. Lion's mane, which does not come from a lion's mane, boosts your brain. That one's easy to remember. And chaga is good for immunity issues like when you're traveling or feeling run down and or both. Okay, enough blabbering from me. I just finished a mushroom matcha latte. Oh, yeah, Four Sigmatic has mushroom matcha powder. If I could just stop blabbering for a damn second, I could tell you that because you listen to this podcast, thank you for that, you can save 15% off any and all Four Sigmatic shroom stuff you'll want to buy off their site, Four Sigmatic, FourSigmatic.com, using code PARTYINMYPLANTS to save that 15%, baby. Man, maybe I had way too much mushroom matcha. Okay, onward to the show. I love this episode. Partly because my guest story is so rich that I basically took the day off from speaking when we recorded this, which was pretty chill, but mostly because my guest story proves the superpowers of plants. Ashley Wood, a plant-based nutrition advocate, a writer, and the host of the brand new podcast, The Good People Podcast, experienced how healing plants can be when she used them instead of using butt skin. It's an inside joke, which you'll get when you're into the inside of this episode. But she used plants to miraculously heal herself from a terrible accident and again to miraculously grow a baby in her body. I consider every pregnancy mind-blowingly miraculous and mind-blowingly terrifying. I mean, I once blacked out from the pain of getting my cartilage pierced. So yeah. But sit back, sip or snack on some plants and hear this woman's really cool story that'll surely get you giddy about partying in your plants. Ashley, thank you so much for coming on the show today, all the way from Canada. Hashtag grateful for Skype.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Talia.
Oh, we have so much to talk about today because you have so much interesting planty stuff in your past and your present and your future. So what shall we start with? Should we start with Sri Lanka or the deep-fried quinoa-coated onion rings?
Oh my goodness, both are amazing. Maybe let's do chronological order and start with Sri Lanka because that was wonderful.
Okay. Dive us in. Take us there. Tell us why people should care about your trip there.
Okay. Let's do it. So I'm going to go back even a little bit further to get all planty on you guys. I'm currently 32 years old and I was vegetarian. I went vegetarian when I was 8 years old, which may sound really young, but I grew up in the country and I've always loved animals, and there were farm animals around. And when I made the connection that the pig that I was eating was also the pig that I was playing with, I was like, yeah, no, I can't do this. And I refused and became a very unhealthy vegetarian at the tender age of 8.
A junk food vegetarian.
Absolutely. French fries all the way.
Yeah. Oreos. They're vegan.
They are. Then throughout my teenage years and early adulthood years, I continued to be vegetarian and ate very poorly, but still vegetarian. I did have dairy. I'm vegan now, but I wasn't vegan then. So I ate very poorly, lots of takeout. I did not know how to cook when I moved out, as most people, a lot of people don't. So I ate a lot of pastas and stuff. And for that reason, I had a lot of very minor health problems, but like caught every chronic cold that went around, or had chronic colds, had chronic yeast infections, UTIs. I had migraines, just the like typical health problems, quote unquote problems that a lot of people have.
Did you know that like it was because you weren't eating well? Like, or were you just like, oh, I'm a person, this is what we get?
Yeah, I thought, I'm a person, this is what we get. I thought, I mean, because I would go to the doctor for having a migraine, or go, I saw like three neurologists and had brain scans and everything. And they're like, well, this is just normal. Like, you're just having headaches. And they would say to me, is this around the time of the month? Like, is this having anything to do with menstruation? And I'm like, well, no, I have headaches all the time. Well, that's just what happens. You'll just have to take Tylenol. So I just thought it was just normal, right? Yeah. So then I continued to eat that way and live that way. And in the meantime, I was also partying a lot, not a like crazy amount, but like drinking and going out and having fun. And I don't know, just living like a regular young woman in her early 20s would live, and without being health conscious, like eating pizza at 2 a.m. and drinking and eating lots
vegetarian.
Of, exactly. Lots of cake.
That's so random. I love cake.
I know. I do too.
Would you make the cake or just like seek it out?
Oh, no, I would seek it out. We have this bakery up here in Winnipeg, Manitoba. It's called Baked Expectations, vegetarian, not vegan. And they have this Tia Maria Tort, and there's like oozing whipped cream. Anyway, off topic, but that's the cake I would eat all the time.
I do love cake.
And yeah, it's delicious. And so I kept eating that way. And then I found myself in a relationship that was, it was okay. And then it ended. And so I took, I guess, a desperate measure, desperate action to improve my mental situation at that time. So I was so sad that the relationship ended. And I was like, I have to do something different with my life right now. I need a change. So that's where Sri Lanka comes in. My brother was working at in Sri Lanka at the time, in a place called Batticalo, Sri Lanka. And he was working with a small project that was funded by UNICEF, and he was working with children who were affected by the conflict there. So I thought, I've always wanted to go to India, and India is close to Sri Lanka. I'm going to fly to Sri Lanka, and then maybe I'll travel India by myself after that. So on a whim, I took my credit card out and booked a trip to Sri Lanka, which...
Wow. You could have just gotten a haircut, you know, mixed things up.
Yeah, I could have, but I've always been one to, well, not always, up until the point when I got married, it changed a little bit then, because there's another person in my life. But until I got married, I was like, oh, problem in my life, I'm going on a trip. It's going to shake things up and everything's going to be better again. So that was my pattern. So I found myself in Sri Lanka. I booked a trip and then left like 2 weeks later and flew to Colombo, the capital of Sri Lanka, for my 25th birthday. That happened to also be around the same time, which was very, very serendipitous, I suppose, because it was a quarter of my life. And so I got to Sri Lanka and I was a puddle the whole way there. I was crying in the plane, and I, is a very, very long journey from Canada. It took hours and hours and hours, and I had a long layover in London, England, and that was really great. And then I got to Sri Lanka and my brother and I spent some time in Negombo, which is a beautiful place. And I was just kind of completely out of sorts. And I thought, okay, this trip has to, like, I came all this way to just change my life. I need to do something. So
no pressure.
No pressure. So we planned to go to the center of the country and climb a mountain called Shripada. And Shripada is translated in English to Adam's Peak. And Adam's Peak is a pilgrimage for different religions and cultures around the world. It's believed that there's a footprint of Adam for Christians at the top of the mountain, and that I don't even remember all the other reasons this mountain is sacred to so many people, but it's sacred to many different religions. So we decided to go to this mountain.
I'm glad you specified, because I thought you meant Adam Levine. So thank you.
I wonder if he's ever been there. He should probably go, because maybe it would, like, I don't know, help him write a song. He might find some kind of amazing breakthrough in
his
namesake mountain.
So funny.
So we got to the mountain and we decided to climb it. You climb the mountain in the middle of the night so that you get up to the top when the sun is rising, which is very, very beautiful. And we got there and climbed the mountain, and it took, I think we started at 2 or 3 in the morning, and then the sun rose around 7. So it took hours.
Wow.
And it's not like climbing with those, like, pitch, or those, I don't know what those things are called, like where you, like, hammer into the side of the mountain and pull yourself up. Like, it's not hardcore like that. There's steps up the mountain and you just walk up the steps. But when you're walking steps for, or like going up steps for so many hours, it is physically demanding.
Yeah, I get winded going up like the steps into the, down to the subway and up from the subway, like one flight. So, don't worry.
Exactly.
I feel you.
So we went, I climbed the mountain all the way to the top and remember it being challenging. But when I got to the top, I said, okay, I am making some changes in my life. I am, like, as I'm watching the sunrise, I'm like, I'm not getting in relationships anymore that are, or I'm going to choose relationships that are positive. I'm ridding my life of negative energy, and I'm going to choose positive energy. I'm going to choose opportunities in my life that bring upon positivity and that bring good things to my life. And most importantly, I'm going to stop partying so much. I am going to eat healthier, and I'm going to finally make the effort to go vegan, because that was always something that I wanted to do for animals and for, at the time, I had no idea about the health reasons that were involved with being vegan. That was just a bonus. And I thought, okay, I'm going to finally do this. So
sounds like that was quite a staircase for you. You really, really walked up those stairs and were like, I'm a new woman.
Yeah, it was definitely a time in my life that was pivotal. And I feel like there have been many moments like that. And probably for all of us, if we look back at the decisions we've made and the actions we've taken, there are different times during our lives that are like chapters closing and new chapters opening. And it's just how life works. But this was definitely a significant one, especially being on a mountain. So the descent from the mountain, I actually felt like I was so much lighter, and that life was really going to change and be different. And not that my life was bad before, but I just wanted to make some different, to do different things in my 25th year of living. So I went down the mountain and went home and continue doing yoga all the time and stop partying so much and ended a lot of friendships, not ended them, but just like didn't really
continue them.
Yeah. And continued on the journey of bettering myself and taking care of myself and doing what I needed to do to make me feel like more of a whole person and more a healthier person and really a person that had more to offer to the world, and that I was serving myself and in turn serving others and just feeling really good and happy about myself. So, and then a couple of months later, 2 months later, I met my husband and we got married a couple of months later.
Wow.
And we both became vegan together, and then we made onion rings, and that's the next story.
Then we made onion rings. Wow. Okay. Keep us going.
Keep going. Okay. Pardon me. Sorry, I had a little sip of tea there.
What kind of tea?
Peppermint, actually.
Oh, simple. Yeah. Straightforward.
Yeah, just straight up peppermint.
Pretty festive. Good for the gut.
That's why I chose it. Good for the gut. Yeah, after a lot of sugar cookies. So, I've met my husband, who at the time was my boyfriend. We were both vegetarian, and for ethical reasons, we had no idea about the health reasons or even the environmental reasons to go vegan. We just both had different ethical reasons for eating the plants and not the animals. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to do the transition to veganism together. I don't love saying veganism, but decided to make the transition to getting rid of dairy and eggs together. And we moved in together and started to grocery shop completely plant-based. And then that was how we ate when we went out at restaurants, and then broke it to our families. We're going vegan. We're
broke
no longer
it to our families. Guys, yeah. Got something to tell you. You might want to sit down for this one. We've decided to.
We're not eating your baking anymore. I'm so sorry. You know, though, like that is a thing that a lot of people like even tell me. They're like, well, how am I going to go to my family gatherings? Because I don't want to offend anybody, and right. I don't want to upset anybody. And I also don't want people to think that I'm weird. Mm-hmm. So it is a conversation you either have or one that you you either don't have and you just kind of go through the motions of eating differently. But we chose to like not have a sit down discussion, but we were like, okay, so this is how we're going to be eating from now on. And we're going to bring our own food. And
how'd they take it?
Oh, really good. They're supportive. Mom's vegan now. And
oh, funny.
Yeah. And my mother-in-law cooks for us really well. And my father-in-law is interested in our food. And I mean, it's no problem at all.
That's great.
Yeah. So then we moved to Toronto. We were living in Winnipeg and we moved to Toronto. And we decided to stay in one random Sunday evening. And there's this restaurant in Toronto called Fresh Restaurants. I'm not sure. Have you ever been to Toronto?
Once, many, many years ago. I went to school at Syracuse, so I did like a little trip from Syracuse once.
Okay, there are many locations in Toronto. It's really delicious. And if anyone listening has been to Toronto or lives there or anything, definitely go to Fresh. It's so good. Anyway, so they have these quinoa-coated onion rings there. And one day I decided I'm going to make these at home. So they're basically just deep-fried onion rings that are coated in quinoa, and they're really crunchy and they're just so good. So I had never deep fried before. I was still a very novice cook. Is that the right word? Novice?
Yeah.
Beginner cook. Yeah. I had no idea what I was doing. So I had our big pot, like the soup pot, and I put in probably 6 cups of and I turned the element on hot. And then similar to how you would boil water, I put the lid on the pot because I was like, oh, it has to heat up. I had no idea what I was doing. And then after a couple of minutes, I take the lid off of the pot. And then, of course, hot oil and oxygen hasn't met it yet. So you take the lid off and oxygen mixes with the hot oil. And instantly, our entire kitchen went up in flames, like within a second. So I take the lid off the pot and there's flames. Like the pot, the flame is huge, like probably, I don't know, 4 feet high. And the apartment that we live in had those old cupboards that had like varnish on them. So within seconds, the flames spread across the cupboards, just like water. Like it was crazy how fast it did. So I stood there panic, like frozen, like completely frozen.
Oh, not frozen, hot. Sorry. Sorry too soon.
No, really though. And I was just like, what? I can't even describe that moment, but I was just like looking like frozen, like had no idea what to do. And my husband was standing right there with me and we just looked at each other and what felt like 30 minutes, but was actually probably like a second. Mm-hmm. I just said to him, I was like, this is how this happens. This is how people's homes burn down. Like, this is how this happens. We have to get out of here right now. So we have 2 cats. We still have them and they were with us there too. And so I said, get the cats. But they were like, they knew something was up and they're running around and he couldn't get them and they were hiding. Oh. And we're like, well, we can't escape without the cats. Like, or we can't like evacuate without the cats. We're not leaving them in here.
Yeah.
So I had this like fight or flight moment in my mind where I just thought I have to do something to get rid of this flame that like the root of the fire, which is this pot. And maybe if I get rid of this pot, the flames will stop. I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking, but I put on oven mitts and we lived on the ground floor of an apartment. And it was March at the time, so there was snow on the ground. And I just called to my husband, Ben. I said, Ben, open the door. And he didn't know what I was doing, so he just went and opened the door. And I ran across the kitchen, put the oven mitts on, grabbed this pot, and ran across the kitchen outside and threw the pot into the snow. And while I was running, the flames went in my face and my hair, burnt my bangs and burnt my eyebrows and my eyelashes. And I actually spilt the oil down my body, the burning oil, body, and on the floor. And it's a miracle that I didn't slip and spill, slip like and trip into the oil.
Yes.
And drop the pot, because that just would have been crazy. And I ran outside and threw the pot into the snow and stood there for a second. And then I went into full on shock and just started yelling. And there was a woman walking her dog. And she came over and I looked down and I was wearing black tights at the time, like yoga pants.
Uh-huh.
And I looked down and my legs were bare. Like the oil had had completely fried the tights off of my legs. Like they were just gone. It was like disintegrated. The fabric had disintegrated. And the first thing I thought of was like, what does my face look like? Like I thought that my face had been burnt.
Yeah.
I was beside myself in shock. Like I remember that moment kind of, but not really.
Right.
And in that time, Ben had called 911 and luckily we lived around the corner from a fire station.
Oh,
and
okay. That's good.
They came. Yeah. Very convenient. They came over and took care of the fire and our cats were out and everything was fine. I guess when the cats heard me scream, they stopped running around and just knew that they had to
get their shit together, man. Come on now. It's not hide and seek.
Exactly.
It's not a fire drill, folks.
Stop, drop, and not roll. So Ben got them in the carrier and got outside. And then we went in the – I don't remember what he did with them, if he put them back inside. But we went in the ambulance and they took me to the hospital, to the burn unit. And I just remember in the ambulance, like crying and crying and saying to Ben, like, what does my face look like? What does my face look like? Like thinking my life was about to change significantly. Like if my face was completely burnt, the life that I once knew was going to be different because
right.
I just had no idea what my life was going to look like. And what I looked like and how my face was going to function. And I was just like, what is going on? He's like, Ashley, your face is completely fine. Like some of your hair is burnt, but that grows back. Your face is completely fine. I didn't even think about my legs or my feet or my hands or anything like that. I was just like, because I had flames in my face. So I was so afraid. And we got to the hospital and I went into emergency right away and they treated my legs. They wrapped me up in this really, I don't know, this like wet gauze stuff and wrapped me up a lot. And they said, when you spill oil on your skin, the oil continues to burn through the tissues for days. So they couldn't really do anything until it stopped burning. They could only wrap it up and allow it to keep burning. And then they would look at my skin after that and decide if they were going to do skin grafting to repair it or what they were going to do. And like, this was almost all of my legs, like my one leg up from my thigh down to my ankle. And the other leg was my knee down to my ankle. So it was like, it was crazy. Man. So I went home after, like, lucky for me, the top burn surgeon in all of Canada happened to be working that night and took me as his patient. And I was very, very lucky that he worked with me and I went home. And this was in the middle of the night that this happened in the evening. And then by the time we got home, it was quite early in the morning, like 1 or 2. And I tried to sleep, but didn't really. And the next day I said to Ben, I was like, okay, I'm not having skin grafting surgery. Like I had just recently learned about the power of plants and we were full vegan at that time. Mm-hmm. And So we had only been vegan for, I don't know, about 8 or 9 months, like not a long, long time. And
that's a pretty significant amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess now because it's been
years.
At the time, it was like the very beginning.
Yeah.
So I had met a friend in Toronto who was also vegan, and she had just gone vegan at the same time, but she went for the environmental and health reasons. So the two of us were like really excited about our new life and our passions and watching documentaries and stuff. And we would get together and eat Mexican food and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And she taught me about green smoothies and about like the health benefits of plants. So I was really pumped on all this information. And I said to Ben the next day after being in the hospital, I was like, I can heal myself. I know that I can heal myself. I know that my body is strong enough and it knows what to do. If I feed it the right things, my body can heal from the inside out, and I'm not going to need the skin grafting surgery.
How did you know that? You just watched all those documentaries where everyone's like, I healed myself, and you're like, I can do it too. Or like you just innately like felt it in your gut. Like how, because that's pretty remarkable to, you know, have that thought. Most people do not have that thought. I mean, maybe more nowadays because there's so many stories and so much proof that you can, in fact, heal yourself from the inside out and that food plays a massive role. But I mean, how did you come to that conclusion?
It was innate. Like it was something inside of me that, and there have also, maybe this goes back to like the moment on the mountain or the different things that have happened in my life, but I've always felt like I'm being very cared for. And this is a whole other podcast topic, but I've always been very cared for by my spirit guides, and I can talk to them, but I've figured out how to do that more so in the more recent years. But I've always been cared for and guided. And it was just something in, like, I just knew. It was like I was being given a message and I just knew that I could heal myself. And I mean, I was psychologically traumatized by what happened. And I went through like counseling about the fire and whatnot because of post-traumatic stress disorder, because that was like, it was serious. And I was afraid of going in the kitchen after for a while. And there was a lot of psychological stuff I had to deal with. But for some reason, I just knew that like with my food, I would be able to heal my body. So I went with that. And that day we went to the grocery store and bought like every green they had. Like we bought bags and bags and bags of greens and fruits and different vegetables and pre-made juices. And we went to this place in Kensington Market in Toronto called Tutti Frutti that sells this amazing shea butter that comes in a half coconut shell. It's really nice. And we went home and we just juiced and juiced and juiced and made the healthiest food. And I'm not talking about like no oil, no salt, high carb, low fat. No, none of that. Like it was just plants, cooking still with some olive oil, like just eating whole food, plant-based, and as unprocessed as possible, and getting as much rest as I could and drinking as much water as I could, and really just taking the best care of myself as I could possible. And once I could touch my wounds, so that was after a couple of days where I could actually like touch them and it wouldn't hurt. Ben had to redo my bandages all the time, and I was going back into the doctor every day. But once I could actually touch my wounds on like day three, I think I started lathering the shea butter on them, and we would wrap my legs in just plastic wrap so that it could really sink in. And then after it sunk in, we put the bandages back on. And on day four, I believe it was, or day five, we saw the doctor again, and the doctor had said that the oil had stopped burning and he was going to make the decision if we were going to do surgery or not. And he looked at my legs and he just could not believe the healing that had taken place, that how far the burn wounds had come. And I mean, they still looked so gruesome. Like my legs were torched, like they looked really bad. But he said, like, this, we do not need to do skin grafting. This is going to heal on its own. The thing is it's going to take a long time to heal. And your scars, you'll probably have scars on your legs for a few years, but those will fade in time as well. So I thought, okay, well, I can accept that.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's the best case scenario there.
Yeah, I was like, at least I don't have to have like skin from my bum taken off to put on my legs to like heal, you know?
That's always however, a nice piece of information to hear from a doctor.
It is. It's definitely.
We're not going to need your bum skin and have to relocate it.
We do not need to cut you. But within like 3 weeks, my legs had healed so well. Like it was amazing. Within 2 months, but I think it was 2 months or 6 weeks. Within 6 weeks, I ran a 5K marathon.
What?
And yeah. And my scars had completely disappeared before the end of the year. So this happened in March. And by the end of the winter, my scars were gone entirely. And now, like even the following year, but now you would never know that I was in an accident like that ever. Like people are so shocked when I tell them like, this is what happened to my legs. And all I did, honestly, I didn't, and I'm not saying that I'm against medicine or anything like that. Like I think medicine is amazing when it's needed. And I think that medicine and like Western medicine and holistic living can work hand in hand harmoniously when needed. But I didn't even take a Tylenol. And through that entire process of healing from that accident, I used only plants like green juices, smoothies, the shea butter, water, curries, pastas, like just delicious whole food, plant-based meals, and copious amounts of spinach and Swiss chard. And
what about the kale?
And kale too. Yeah.
Come on. Can't forget the kale. No, but that's amazing. I mean, so you really believe, did your doctor like affirm that you, that it was, that this was like unheard of? Like, I mean, in your mind, I mean, obviously you definitely equate the plants to this miraculous recovery.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I remember saying to my doctor, he gave me these different creams to put on and prescriptions and whatnot. And I said, you know, I choose to not use this. If I have to, I will. I'm not saying I'm not going to use this, but I choose to not because I believe that I have a remedy here that is going to work. And he didn't say yes or no to it. Like he said, well, we do not have scientific evidence that your shea butter is going to work the same way as this prescription I'm giving you. Mm-hmm. Or we do not have scientific evidence that what you are doing to your body is the reason why you are healing so quickly. You may just have a like strong body. So he didn't confirm that what happened was the reason why it happened. And I don't know if he would. Like I don't know. I don't know the backstory.
Yeah, I'm
all
curious.
I know is that he was amazed that I healed the way that I did. And the last time that I saw him, he just couldn't believe it. Like he was like, this is amazing. This is such an incredible recovery. And you did so, like your body did so well. And I wasn't there to show off or anything. So I didn't say like, I didn't use your medicine and I didn't do this or I didn't do that. I just said, yeah, I'm really happy. And
that's awesome. Congrats. Yeah. I mean, good for you.
Thank you. That's amazing.
That's remarkable. So I love also that you said, you know, this wasn't some like just juice or, you know, all raw or like no oil, you know, yada, yada, that stuff. You're telling me it was just plants. You just ate the plants, like a normal, you know, healthy and balanced plant-based diet. And so what did that look like to you? I mean, you were just mentioning like you were eating pastas and curries and stuff like that. So, you know, just like zucchini pastas or you know, brown rice pasta, like you were just eating the plants.
Just the plants. Yeah. No rules or anything. Like
that's awesome.
Still, that's how I eat today. Like I don't have the rules other than whole food, plant-based, with still like room for desserts and room for treats and whatnot, because I think a balanced approach is a healthy approach. And the reason that I eat this way is first and foremost ethical. So it's not like I feel restricted in not eating animal byproducts. That's a choice that I'm making for so many more reasons other than taste preference or hashtag Instagram trend, you know? but yeah, at the time it was like I would start the morning with a lot of water simply just to hydrate my body after sleeping. And then I would make a green juice with probably, I was making a lot of Swiss chard green juices. So like chard and apple and lemon and ginger and then spinach or kale or something like that. And then I usually had a smoothie as well. So I would have like bananas with nut butter and almond milk and berries or something just to sustain me more. And that would be my breakfast. And then I would have anything I wanted for lunch, like soup, or I wasn't really cooking at that time because I couldn't walk for the first couple of weeks. So my husband would make me anything that he felt like making. So yeah, like soup or pasta, or we would order out from, there's so many vegan restaurants in Toronto that you can order from. So we would order out from somewhere, and then really just whatever I felt like eating. Like I was even eating French fries sometimes. Like it wasn't like I was completely restricting myself to what I was having, but just making sure that I was having a lot of healthy plant-based foods and really a lot of greens, because greens are so powerful and so healing. So that's what I focused on.
That's amazing. Yeah. Wow. I mean, wow. I love it because, like I said, it's really cool to hear you not say, oh, I did this extreme thing. You know, you just did the plants and look what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, your story continues because then you got knocked up. Well, intentionally, I assume. And you had a plant-based pregnancy, which is another thing that I know is a topic that, you know, maybe doctors don't think is a good idea. I don't know. I'm not pregnant or, you know, trying to get pregnant in the near future. But I would assume, you know, doctors are like, I don't know if that's the right thing to do. But you nailed it. And you have a daughter who you say was born in perfect health, which is a testament to the well-planned and balanced plant-based pregnancy you did. So I'm curious what that looked like to you. Like, what is that well-planned plant-based pregnancy? And, you know, what did that look like? Because that's a totally different way of needing to eat when you're growing a human inside of you.
It is, yes. So from Toronto, we moved home and I just continued to learn more and more about the health benefits of eating vegan, and through the, like at that time, had a food blog and was cooking like crazy and just learned so much. And that's when food became such a thing online. So there were so many resources and I could learn from so many other people that were also eating the way that I did. And all of a sudden I felt like I had a community of foodies that weren't, like, I didn't have that in my real life. So I had people online that I could connect with and learn from, and it was amazing. And I was so happy. And then, yeah, in 2015, very late, actually, not to be too TMI, not whatever, Ivy was conceived in 2015 on Boxing Day.
Ah!
And we have a wonderful 9 months. And really, you know, I ate the same way, except when I was pregnant, I went full on strict healthy eating. Like I did give up oil for the most part. I gave up caffeine, which I have not returned to. I, of course, didn't drink alcohol, which I have also not returned to. I hardly ate sugar. I took different supplements and vitamins based on the time of my pregnancy, like throughout the different stages of my pregnancy and what Ivy needed when she was growing. I should mention that I didn't have a doctor. I had a midwife, and my midwife was very supportive of being vegan and having a plant-based pregnancy and having a plant-based baby. And she was very knowledgeable in that as well. And she helped me a lot. She was just wonderful. Like in the third trimester, most women need to really seriously increase their iron levels, their iron intake, because the baby is developing in such a way that they just suck the iron right out of your body, and you need to take so much more just to give them more for what they're, the last stages of development. And so I was eating a lot of oats and like pumpkin seeds and eating as much iron high foods as possible. But I started to take the Floradex, the vitamin, just in case as a precaution, and it worked really well. We did like blood levels and everything was perfect. And Ivy was born at the birth center with, I didn't have, like, I'm not saying this to brag or anything, but I am proud of myself. I didn't take any medication or any pain killers or anything. She had a completely natural birth.
Oh my God.
and it was wonderful. And I had the birth of my dreams. Like it was, I loved birth and I loved pregnancy, love labor. It was wonderful. I loved it so much.
What? And
yeah, I really did.
Okay, I passed out once from getting my ear pierced. So birth is the most petrifying thing for me. So the fact that you just said you loved it is, my mind is blown right now.
Well, don't get me wrong. It was painful. It's the most painful thing I have ever gone through in my life. But I created these little cards with positive mantras on them that I said through my, I almost went into this trance and I sat in the birthing tub for, like, I was in labor for 36 hours and I just repeated to myself over and over and over and over and over that the pain couldn't be stronger than me because it is me. Like it's a natural thing that my body was going through. My body was meant to grow her and birth her. And it wasn't like someone was cutting my arm off. Like this was a pain that my body knew exactly what to do. Wow. It knows how to get through it. And I have the power in me to be able to manage this pain because it is a natural occurring pain and it can't be greater than me because it is me. Wow. Like everything that's going on is me. So I can control this and I can manage it just fine with my mind.
That's so cool. That I got the chills as you were saying that. That's really remarkable. That's great. I love that.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's amazing. That's very inspiring.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So she was born and she was born perfectly healthy and she's now 15 months old and she's perfectly healthy, has been vegan the whole time. We did change pediatricians. The guy we were with was just fine, but I still breastfeed her all the time. And he kind of asked me, why are you still breastfeeding? You can move her over to cow's milk now. And I just said, no thanks. And I thought, like, I don't have these discussions with people because I'm not out to prove a point. And really all I can do is control myself and control my actions. And at the moment, control what my daughter eats. And just my little family is what matters to me the most and our decisions and how we live our lives. So I wasn't about to sit there and like get into it with the doctor, but a question that I would like to ask him or anyone who thinks that is, why would you take the milk away from the mother who grew the baby and the milk is like perfectly and specially made for the baby, why would you replace that with milk from another animal? Like it just doesn't make sense to me.
I agree. That is whacked out. That is whacked out. So will you keep her, will she be vegan for life or will she eventually, you know, what if she comes home one day and is like, mommy, like I had a bologna sandwich at my friend Sarah's house today. Like what will happen?
Honestly, I have no idea. And the one thing that I've learned with being a parent, only 15 months into it, but I've learned that you can't really plan things. And I think that's the same for life. Like you can't sit and say, this is how my life is going to be next year. Because technically, next year doesn't exist. Tomorrow doesn't even exist. All that exists is right now, today. And we think the sun is going to rise tomorrow and tomorrow is going to be here because that's what we have always believed. But like the only thing that exists is right now. So we are bringing her up to teach her what we plan to do as much as we can plan, generally speaking. We're going to bring her up to teach her that we take care of our bodies because we love our bodies and we feed our bodies with the healthiest food that we can. And this is food that is grown from the earth and that is so nourishing for us. And we're going to garden with her in our backyard. And I've already started like teaching her about gardening and she's such a little baby, but like just to teach her that this is where food comes from. And she has a lot of books about, growing food. And then we're also going to teach her that meat, first of all, was an animal. Like we're not going to say this is a hamburger. We're going to tell her that was a cow at one point. And it
I know. I feel like you need to actually all people have to understand, make that correlation. I feel like some people maybe still, I mean, they know, obviously all adults like know, but I feel like some people don't really like know.
I know
what I mean? Like they know, but they don't know.
No, because I think a lot of people don't even know what some of the meat is because it's not called the animal name. Like bacon is pig, but beef is a cow.
We should change all the names. On the menu should just be like pig, fried pig, you know, so people really know what the hell's going on.
Well, I don't know. At 7-Eleven the other day, like I drove past 7-Eleven and there was this big billboard and it was like half price from legs, wings, all this. And I was like, I said to Ben, I'm like, does that sound appetizing? Like, I want to go get a bucket of
legs.
Wings. Like it actually is like chicken legs, chicken wings. Like it is, they're telling it like it is.
Friends episode where Joey like puts two and two together. He's like, I forget the joke, but he's like, oh, you wouldn't just eat wings. And then he realizes that he eats wings.
Yeah.
It was much funnier in the show.
Well, I'm sure.
Well, speaking of Friends, I remember, let's just talk about Friends. I remember Phoebe in Friends was a diehard vegetarian, but when she got pregnant, you know, she was just, her body was craving meat. So you didn't have any of those experiences during your pregnancy, not necessarily craving meat, but cravings, I guess.
Oh, no, not at all. And I cannot speak for anyone but myself, of course, and my personal experience, but I didn't have any cravings because I was feeding myself really healthy food and my body wasn't deficient of anything. Mm-hmm. So I didn't crave things. And of course, I didn't crave animal products because I hadn't had them in over 10 years. So I like, that's not even food to me. I don't look at meat and think, delicious. Like, that's not food to me. It's, mm-hmm. it's an animal's carcass. So, and I know since I've met some other vegan mothers, and not even just vegan mothers, but really healthy women who have also had children, and they don't have cravings either. So I think it's if you eat really healthy food. I mean, there were times where I wanted to eat more raspberries than strawberries, or where I wanted sushi all the time, or orange juice all the time. But I didn't have these like whacked out cravings of the craziest foods. I just ate very balanced and very healthy, and I did not limit what I was going to eat. I ate tons. I ate anything that I wanted, like as long as it was healthy food, I ate all the time, and I ate large portions. And when Ivy was born, my body slimmed out to like thinner than I was before having a baby within the first week. Like it was amazing because I stayed active and I ate really healthy while I was pregnant, and my body just performed the way that it's designed to perform. And wow. It was pretty remarkable. But back to how we're going to raise her, I just want to also say with dairy, like we're going to explain to her that the milk comes from a cow and that humans drink human milk and cows are meant to drink cow's milk. And if she, as she's growing up, like we're hoping to instill this compassion in her and like teach her this compassion, and but also show her that this food makes her feel really good. But if she goes off to a like a kid's birthday party and eats a cupcake with dairy in it and then comes home and has a tummy ache, I'm not going to punish her or anything. We'll have a talk about it and we'll talk about what was in that cupcake and what she ate. And if she chooses to eat meat one day, like we'll talk about what the food is, but she's her own person and she doesn't belong to me, you know, like I'm her guide. She's her own person.
That's awesome.
Respect that. Like we're here to take care of her, but not to control her every decision.
Totally. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So what about you though? So now you have a baby and you run a business. How mm-hmm. are you still staying on top of your plants? I mean, are you making food in bulk? Are you meal prepping and planning, or, you know, how are you keeping those plants easily getting into your mouth when you're so busy?
We eat as simply as we can, I think. Like every morning we have porridge or a smoothie, which is so easy to make. Like a smoothie is you just throw things in a blender and blend it up, and porridge, it's like a couple of minutes on the stove.
What's your go-to porridge?
It's actually a recipe on my site. It's morning maple porridge. I believe that's what it's called. I don't even know what I called my own recipe.
Oh, I never know what I call my recipes.
Yeah. Like it's the porridge I make every day. It's whole oats, like whole organic oats with almond milk and some coconut sugar and some cinnamon and a little bit of the, I buy the alcohol-free organic vanilla extract just because they give it to Ivy and I just to be extra safe and sure. And we just cook that. And then I put a tiny bit of maple syrup on top and some like hemp hearts and chia seeds and a little bit of cinnamon, and sometimes I'll add a banana or some berries. Like really, really simple and basic. It's delicious.
Sounds awesome. What about your go-to smoothie?
Smoothie every day, almost every day. Like, we should probably switch it up sometimes, but almost every day is banana, orange, spinach, kale, water, hemp hearts, chia seeds. That's it. Mm. It's so good.
That sounds
good. What do you have?
For
smoothie.
I actually mix it up all the time. My go-to right now is half of a frozen banana, lots of bloobs, kale or spinach, whatever green I have in the thing. I use Sun Warrior plant protein powder to make it fill me up. And then sometimes I go halvesies on water and almond milk. Sometimes I just go all. And I usually throw in some mushrooms for somatic mushroom powder. Not the real deal. The powder. Yeah. And matcha. Got all that stuff in it. Yeah, pretty simple. Enough
butter,
maybe.
I have never gotten into matcha.
Or you don't do caffeine.
Or stigmata. No, I don't do caffeine at all. But I haven't. I'm really behind on the superfoods and all that stuff. Like, I haven't really tried a lot of that.
You know, it's okay. Look at you. You're superhuman. You're pumping out babies. You're healing, you know, your legs, your scars. I think you're super enough.
I have a baby. I have healed legs.
You're good to go. But for Sigmatic really is amazing. No plug, but kind of a plug. No plug. But I love their mushrooms. They make me feel awesome. And what I really noticed is once I started using them in smoothies and in teas and stuff, my body physically yearns for them. And it's not really? Like a taste bud craving because it's not like that. It's not like it's cookies, you know, I'm like, oh, I got my craving. It's like my body's like, yo, can I have some more of that, please? And I spoke to the founder, Taro, he was on my podcast, and he's like, yo, when your body knows, you know, that it's getting something good and it's helping it, because mushrooms are adaptogens and they just help your body like kick ass at life. And he's like, what, your body knows what it needs to, you know, thrive. And if your body's telling you it wants more, like, listen to it.
That's amazing.
So, maybe give it a shot.
I think I'm going to get the Four Sigmatic hot chocolate.
Oh, it's divine.
Because it's the perfect time of year to have hot chocolate. Oh, so
it's amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to get that. Okay, well, I have something to do now. So
perfect. There you go. That's your homework assignment.
That's my homework
assignment. That's great. So speaking of homework, okay, that was a terrible segment. But you are launching a podcast.
Woohoo!
No relation to homework. But it's called the Good People Podcast. Good People Podcast. I don't know if I stuttered. Yeah. Tell me about it. I love the name. It's simple. It's clean, uplifting. What inspired you to start a podcast?
Thank you. A couple of things, but really, when Ivy was born, and I think this is very important to mention because everything that I have said on this podcast so far is very uplifting and sounds like there hasn't really been any struggles. Well, of course, my legs were burnt. That was a struggle. But it sounds like everything's been very easy. And when Ivy was born, I went through some pretty dark postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety. I was eating extremely healthy. I was taking better care of myself than I have probably ever done in my life, like even while I was healing from the fire. Like, I was doing everything that I was quote unquote supposed to do to feel good, but my mind was completely off balance from having a baby. And my hormonal levels were just like, I saw a doctor and he said, like, your brain has basically stopped producing serotonin from having a baby. Like, it was bad. And I felt really, really, really low. And I actually started on some medication, which changed my life and saved my life. And wow. I'm back to myself again. So I just want to say, which is very important to mention, that plants are amazing and they can do so much for your life and for your health and lifestyle and diet. Like, that's the foundation of health. It's not everything. And maybe I would get burnt today and I would need medical help along with my diet and my lifestyle. I just want to make sure that I'm not saying that plants are the only every way that you have to, like, it's the only answer. There's every single person is different and every situation is different. And anyway.
No, I applaud you for saying that. I appreciate you for saying that. It's important that you say that, you know, because it's true. People can't. Plants are amazing. And clearly, as you've demonstrated through your stories on this chat, they really are amazing for you. They were amazing for healing so many things that I had out of whack. They're amazing for so many people for so many reasons. But like you said, they're not it. That's not it. Like, there's more that you, if they're not always the only answer. And it's important to make that distinction for sure.
Exactly. So, and thank you.
And thank you.
And thank you. So after I had Ivy, I felt terrible. And I strapped her on to my chest every single day and just walked for hours and listened to podcasts to search for some inspiration. Anyone who's had a baby knows that those first couple months after you have a baby, your life is completely turned upside down. Everything is different. I didn't feel like myself anymore. I was just like, okay, the life that I once knew of like working a lot and managing a lot of stuff, I have no idea how to do that right now because I have this baby I have to take care of and my anxiety is through the roof. And every day was so challenging for me to do anything. So I would just walk and walk and walk and walk for hours and listen to podcasts. And she's a newborn, so she just slept on my chest in the carrier. And I would listen to so many podcasts and just listening to other people's stories gave me purpose and gave me reason to keep going and helped me find inspiration to get back on my feet as both a now new mother and also a woman who wants to create in this world and do things and separate from my child. Like, it helped me reformat my new identity as a person. And it was life-changing for me. Like, listening to those conversations was life-changing to me. So I decided a long time ago, like not a long time ago, but like 6 months ago, that once I had everything together and I had my strength back and I'm still not sleeping because I have a baby, but mm-hmm. once I felt somewhat normal and put together, I was going to start a podcast to give that back to the world, to anyone listening who's looking for some inspiration, and hope that I'm able to touch even one woman the way that I was touched by the stories that I listened to and the people that I listened to. So my podcast is called The Good People Podcast. And while I was planning it and putting it together, I looked at my editorial calendar and saw, wow, I have 3 months of women that I'm having on my show and one man. So clearly I am the most excited about talking to other women. What? So I have changed. Go girl. And I thought, I want to create a space for women, and men can definitely listen. Absolutely. I invite you to listen because you don't have to listen to just men, but this is a place for women to speak. And so the Good People Podcast celebrates the personal journey of extraordinary women. And we talk about health and wellness. We talk about spirituality. We talk about manifestation and the law of attraction. And we talk about plants and we talk about motherhood, entrepreneurial endeavors. We talk about all kinds of things, but
I love it.
Really great. It's been really fun. And that's why I decided to start a podcast.
That is a great answer to that question. And I am very excited to listen to it and hopefully be on it. Yes, no pressure.
I want you to come on it and I want to hear all about your story.
Thanks. Yeah, that is awesome. I do think, I mean, obviously I'm a fan of the podcasts. I think they're freaking awesome because there's peeps right now listening to this and feeling uplifted. And that's the whole goal.
Exactly. It's amazing.
So speaking of people walking around listening to this, if somebody's listening and they're like, yo, I want to get hooked on the plants. I mean, if they're already not inspired by the rest of these podcast episodes, maybe this, you can offer some words of wisdom. So if somebody's listening, what would you tell them if they asked you, like, how do I get started eating more plants? Because I do think what makes you really special and awesome is that, like you said, you eat really simply and you literally just eat the plants and you don't make it complicated and you don't make it like heady and you're not like, you don't have a lot of rules and restrictions and it sounds very joyful and easy and pleasurable for you. So if somebody's listening and they're like, how do I make eating plants like that for me? What would you tell them?
I would tell them to pick one meal a day to start with, because if you're currently eating the way that a lot of people eat, which is without intention. I would say that the way that I eat is with intention. So the food that I put in my mouth is peaceful. It has not suffered and been slaughtered. That is why I eat the way that I eat. So if the food that you're eating is without intention, pick one meal a day to focus on. So what meal are you going to choose to have intention for. Is it breakfast, lunch, dinner? Let's say you're going to start with breakfast, which is actually the easiest meal of the day, I think, to have a plant-based meal. Mm-hmm. And just choose something super simple. I think like oatmeal or coconut yogurt or a smoothie or fruit. Like eating plant-based doesn't have to be complicated. Like you said, you don't have to get in your head about it. You don't have to go out and buy a gazillion products at Whole Foods. It's just eating plants, like eating plants from the grocery store, going in the produce section and picking plants. Maybe challenge yourself to choose a new fruit or a new vegetable to take with you for lunch. Like start small and learn about why you want to eat the way that you want to eat. If you're curious about making a change to your diet, that curiosity is coming from somewhere. Find out, ask yourself questions. Is this because you want to feel better? Is it because you want to have a positive impact on the planet? You don't want to eat animals, you want to lose weight. Like, what is the reason why you want to change the way you eat? And then learn more about that reason. Focus on that reason and learn more about why you are curious about that. And I can guarantee that the more you learn, the more you're going to feel empowered to continue making changes to your diet. So if you've only started with the one meal, but you're learning more and more that this, both in how you feel, your breakfast is making you feel like you have more energy and it's making you feel fresh in the morning. It's making you feel happy. It's giving you energy. It's making like you're excited about your breakfast. You don't feel like you have a rock in your belly after eating your food. You're going to work feeling like, okay, I feel really great. Maybe you're inspired to then walk to work, or maybe you're inspired just to smile a bit more, like whatever it is. And then be curious about that and think, why am I feeling this much better? Okay, well, it's because of how I'm eating. So just go with it, like really just have fun with it and play with it and indulge in your curiosity. And it doesn't need to be complicated. It can be really fun and joyful.
I love that. Totally. And I think connecting to your why, your reason, you know, like you just said, noticing how eating more plants makes you feel, which will be the answer, you know, will be much better. You will feel awesome. And then once you realize that, then you can use that as motivation, if you will, or inspiration to, like you said, just, you know, keep going. And eventually it snowballs. And then you feel epic most of the time.
Exactly. And it's not an all or nothing thing. Like, I think that's important to mention too, because I run workshops and events and whatnot in the city that I live in. And I meet people all the time who say, you know, I'm not vegan, but I do eat predominantly plant-based. And I just say to them, I'm like, honestly, I don't care. Like, just the fact that you're here means that you love yourself enough to do something healthy for yourself and do something great and just show up for you, which is so awesome. If you're not eating 100% vegan, like I don't care. Like that's not on me. That's if you feel good with how you eat and if you feel good with how you live, that's on you. Like I don't think we owe anyone any explanation or any excuse, and we don't need to focus on being perfect. If eating fully plant-based is what makes you feel amazing, then that's perfect. If you receive so much joy and pleasure from eating, I don't know, your cheese on your pizza or something, like if you're eating predominantly plant-based, you know, do you, like do what makes you feel really joyful and focus on the positive and not on the place that you maybe have not yet reached. Like, I want to be vegan, but I'm not there yet. Or I want to eat fully plant-based, but I just can't kick the, I don't know, the chicken or the fish or whatever. Like, don't focus on the part that is that you're still working on. Focus on the progress that you've made and don't worry about being perfect. Like, really just do what you can do, show up for yourself, and
totes. Yeah. It's your most of the time that matters most, is what I always say.
Big picture.
Yeah. Just eat more plants. It doesn't matter if it's all plants, 1,000% plants, 99.9% plants, 50% plants. I mean, I'd hope you eat more than 50, but you can work on it.
Exactly.
So most of the time that matters most is the name of the game. So let me ask you a few final plant party questions.
Woo!
Okay. Well, I already heard your favorite plant party restaurant, it sounds like. The one, what's it called? Fresh, you said?
Yeah, you know, I don't have a favorite restaurant in my city and I don't really eat out that much, but we'll say anywhere that serves. Yeah, let's just go with fresh. Fresh is awesome. So let's okay. just go with that.
What is your favorite plant to eat?
The first thing coming to my mind is strawberries. So I'm going to say strawberries.
What's your favorite way to eat them?
Plain.
Oh.
Just fresh.
Naked.
Naked. Yeah.
What is your
avocados.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Throw coming in from left field there.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you do with avocados?
Oh, eat them on everything. Like I put avocados on everything and in everything.
Toast. Do you put them in smoothies?
No, but I put them on soup, like any kind of soup.
On soup?
Yeah, like hot soup. I just put some avocado slices. It's delicious.
You should try it. I should try that. You know, I had a pizza the other night. It was a vegan pizza. It was amazing. It had like all the veggies on it, but they actually put avocado on it, like little like balls kind of avocado. They didn't cook it, obviously, with the avocado. Although I think because the pizza is super hot when it comes out of the oven, the avocado was warm. I think they put it on at the end, but it was delightful. I was like very like, avocado on pizza. Come on now. And I was like, yeah, come on now.
Amazing.
Was delicious. So
I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah. Not just for toast, my friends, or guac.
No, it can be everywhere.
Everywhere. What is your most used kitchen tool?
My Vitamix, hands down.
Hands down. What is a book that has inspired you in some awesome way?
Oh my goodness. Okay.
This is always, always the one that makes everybody not know how to answer it.
I read a lot of books. I read for half an hour every night before bed and I read a lot of books. But I recently started reading, she has two books out. Her name's Jennifer Barclay. She has nothing to do with plant-based eating or anything like that. And she is an English woman who moved to the Greek island of Telos. And she writes about the process of changing her life and moving to Telos and living simply. And she still works there full time. She works remotely. And just the way she writes is so beautiful. And it inspires me to just feel positive and feel, I don't know, wonderful before I go to bed. And it's really, really nice. And I interviewed her on my podcast. So,
woo. Yeah, all right. Well, great. Speaking of your podcast, where can we all go to stay connected with you and, you know, hook up with your podcast when it's live?
You can find me at my website, ashleywood.life, and on Instagram, _ashleywood. And if you sign up for my newsletter on my website, then you can stay in touch with absolutely everything that I'm up to.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I think this was, by far, I spoke the least in this episode that I've ever spoken in an episode before, which was very refreshing. I enjoyed not talking that much. You did a wonderful job telling your story. It's so inspiring from so many angles. And go plants and go you. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a delight.
Yay. Thanks so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I hope this episode left you with a burning, a great desire to eat plants. If you can think of another human who might enjoy hearing this show in their ears, please share it with them. And you can find the simple plant recipes Ashley mentions in this chat, some relevant friends clips, and so much more that takes the hell out of healthy eating over at partyinmyplants.com/71.